God's still a God of possibilities, impossibilities. No matter what things look like, no matter what man says, God can still do the impossible. With man, certain things may be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Remember that in this season that we're in, because God will speak to you impossible things, things that sound impossible, things that look impossible. But you have to always remember that with God, the impossibilities become possibilities. What's never been done before can be done now. What's never been done before can be done by you. What's never been done before can be done through you. So we always have to remember and keep in mind that God is the God of impossibilities. Nothing shall be impossible to them that believe. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Well, I've been keeping you abreast of fatherhood, and I learned something. I learned the origin of something. Sometimes it's important to know the origin of things. Brianna is going through potty training right now, and she's using the bathroom by herself for the most part. 90% of the time she makes it to the bathroom. The other 10% is kind of half and half. But she goes into the bathroom and she wants me to help her up, and I help her up, has a little step-up stool, and I'm about to leave. She says, no, stay in here. Sit right there on the edge of the bathtub. Said, you want me to stay in here? Yeah, I want you to stay in here. Daddy, stay in here. So I sit on the edge, and she looks at me, and she says, talk. I said, oh, that's where that starts. I never understood why women went to the bathroom in twos. I get it now. It starts at a very, very early age. It's important to know the origin of things. I thought it was a private moment, but you want to talk. Personally, I like my privacy, but anyway. I don't want to talk. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tonight. Brethren, I could not speak to you as spiritual men. As you're involved in discipleship, as you're involved in teaching, as you're involved in training, as you're involved in parenting, as you're involved with working with youth, working with children, working with men, working with ladies, as you're involved in that discipleship, training, teaching, raising up, speaking into, pouring into, this is a good message for us to hear, especially as we start to hear more and more about outreach, about getting out of ourselves and getting out of the four walls and ultimately ending up in discipleship and pouring into and teaching and training and ministering to people and talking with people. It's important to understand that there's a process of spiritual growth. And Paul tells us in verse 1 that he's talking to believers. He uses the word brethren or brothers. And he says, brethren, I could not speak to you as spiritual men. Now, wait a second. These are spiritual men. But he says, I can't talk to you as if you were spiritual men. He says, but as to men of the flesh, as if you were an infant in Christ. So there will be times where you will not be able to share certain things with people because they aren't there yet. And it's important to understand that. Sometimes you have to let them grow before you can share certain things with them. Same way with parenting as well. You don't share everything with a four-year-old because they just, growth is progressional, right? So you have to give them things one step at a time. And as they master things, you present more, you reveal more. If you reveal too much at one time, it can overwhelm them. And so he says, I could not speak to you as spiritual men, although these men are believers, brethren, we know that, and so they have the spirit, but I have to talk to you as if you were men of the flesh. Now, they are not in the flesh, because Paul tells us, the same Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, however, you are not in the flesh, but you are in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells within you. So, These are believers, these are brethren who are spiritual, who are in the spirit, but they're acting and behaving as if they're in the flesh. Why would a believer behave as if they were an unbeliever? One of two reasons, either flat out disobedience or an unrenewed mind. So he says, I have to talk to you as if you were infants in Christ. Now, you ever seen an adult, 35 years old, you have to talk to them because they act like they're two?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. I got a witness. Yeah, there are some 50-year-olds that never grew up. And they act childish, just in the natural. And you have to talk to them as if they're a child. They're not a child, but you have to talk to them as if they are, because that's how they're behaving. And so Paul sets the premise that I cannot speak to you as if you were mature. I could not speak to you as if you were spiritual, but as to men of the flesh, as to infants in Christ. And because of that, I gave you milk to drink and not solid food. For you were not, again, able to receive it. Not every believer is at the same place. It's important to understand that as you disciple, as you train, as you pour into people. If you have a class that you teach, you have to understand that not everybody under the sound of your voice is in the same place spiritually. They're in the same place physically, but they're not in the same place spiritually. So you have to understand not just the anointing that's flowing through you, but the ground that is being dealt with. Because sometimes there are different types of ground, and your discipleship method could be great. Your teaching could be great. But if you don't also deal with the ground, it may be of no effect. Okay? So you are not yet able to receive it. And so Paul has been past tense so far. He says, brethren, I could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of the flesh, as to infants in Christ, I gave. So he's had this conversation with them before. I gave you milk to drink and not solid food. For you were not, past tense, you were not able to receive it, and nothing's changed since then. Indeed, now, you are not yet able to receive it, for you are still fleshly, or behaving as if you were of the flesh and not of the spirit. Why? For since there is jealousy and strife, so to God, to Christ, jealousy and strife, we call it drama. Jealousy and strife is childish. Okay? Jealousy and strife in the church is childish. Jealousy and strife in the home is childish. That's why your children argue, because they're childish. They're children. At some point in time, we're supposed to grow out of that. But not everyone does. So God equates jealousy and strife with childishness. Are you not fleshly, and are you not walking or behaving as if you were mere men? There's the word like. Walking like you are mere men. Now, you are not mere men. The reason why some believers behave the way that they do is because they don't understand who they are. They understood who they are, that would provoke them to behave differently. So that's why you always want to deal with people's identity first before you start to deal with their behavior. This is who you are, because this is who you are. This is how you should behave. Okay? So if you solely focus on behavior without identity, then it starts to get legalistic and dry. But if you focus on who you are a son of God. You are a Robinson. You are a Sanders. You are a Simic. You are a fill in the blank. This is who you are. This is the name that you have. This is how we live. This is how we walk. This is how we behave. Okay? So he says, you're walking, you're behaving as if you were mere men. And you're not a mere man. You're not a mere woman. You are a son of God. You are a male, female son of God. You are filled with the Spirit of God. The nature of God is on the inside of you. So you're not just a mere person, but you're behaving like it. You're acting like you're a mere person. Okay? And this is what I mean. You are identifying your walk with God with a man. Okay? He says, for when one says, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are you not mere men? So what was happening is that men of God were pouring into discipling, baptizing believers, and the believers got attached to them and started to identify with the man versus the son. Okay? And so as you're involved in discipleship, as you're involved in training, you always want to be pointing to Christ. Christ. He is Lord. Don't get attached to me. Don't find your identity in me. Don't identify with me. Well, I was under Brother So-and-so's ministry. We got it going on. No, he got it going on. I go to such and such church. You know, we got it going on. Oh, well, my pastor's better than your pastor. No. Look at how many people we got. How many people y'all got. God calls this immature. And jealousy and strife that comes out of that immature. And so we should not get attached to the woman or the man of God. Okay, and he's about to tell us why. Now, obviously, it goes without saying, we honor our women, our men of God. We submit to them as if we're submitting to Christ. We receive them as gifts of Christ to us, to the church. But we don't want to exalt them and give them the place of Lord. Okay? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Okay? So he says, one of you saying, I'm of this ministry, I'm of this man, I'm of Apollos, are you not mere men? What then is Apollos? And what is Paul? But servants through whom you believed. Okay? as you're discipling people, as you're leading people to Christ, understand that you are a vessel that God uses through whom they believe on Christ. Okay? The goal is not for them to see you, it's to see him. Okay? It's not to get attached to you. Now, it's going to be natural if you lead someone to Christ that they're going to want to tug at your coattails for a little while. Okay? That's fine. That should happen. Okay? Because they have to grow. And as discipleship takes place, they have to grow. You may be teaching a class. You may be teaching a Bible study. Some students may have a lot of questions about things, and they're coming to you and they're getting advice, and you're sharing with them, you're imparting to them, and they may start to get attached to you. That's okay to an extent, as long as you're constantly pointing them to him, okay, and not to yourself, and as long as they understand your role and the role of Christ, okay? So then, servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. Okay? God is the one that raises people up. God is the one that grows people up. And this should be a big relief for a lot of you. Because at some point in time, there's a lot of ministers in this room, okay? Whether formally recognized or not, there's a lot of ministers at this church, been taught so well and are ready to go out and teach and train others, are equipped to do that. But at some point in time, you either have or will think that the burden is on you to change someone. Whether it's your disciple, your student, or your children, okay? But even your children, although they are your responsibility, they are your stewardship, you are just that, a steward over that child to raise them up according to God's will, to sharpen them as an arrow and point them in the right direction of God's will, plan, and purpose. So even in that scenario, it's not on you to cause them to grow. It's on you to be a vessel that God uses to water and to plant, the plant and to water. Okay? So I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. God was causing the growth. Oh, well, I was under so-and-so's ministry, and because I was under that ministry and that man of God, that woman of God, they caused me to grow. Well, yeah. So I get it, right? We get it. But we have to understand that really it was God that grew him up. Okay? But God used that man or that woman to grow them up. So as long as we keep things in perspective, the language that we use, you know, is fine. It's more about the attitude of the heart, right? So God was causing the growth. Verse 7. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes growth. So I'm standing up here right now, and I am distributing the word of God, the things of God to you, and I am being used to, in some cases, for some of you, plant, and for some of you, being used to water. Okay? But compared to God and Christ who causes the growth, what am I but a vessel? Right? What, I mean, so we have to be very careful about how attached we get to vessels. And it's, in our very sense-appealing society, we tend to go with what we see. We don't see God physically, we see the man of God. So we equate the man of God with God. And that's healthy to an extent, because the man of God represents God. The woman of God represents God. But ultimately, our vision and our sight needs to be on Christ. We need to see God through him. We need to see Christ through him. So that if televangelist whoever falls, it doesn't matter. We're not moved because we were never attached to them. We were always attached to Christ. And so women fail in terms of the flesh. Men fail sometimes in terms of the flesh. So we can't get too focused on people. We can't exalt people as our source. We have to always stay focused on Christ. And as disciplers and teachers and ministers, we have to always be pointing people to Christ. And the great thing about our pastor is that he has always, always done that. Yes. Always, always pushed us to the Word. Yes. What does the Word say? Always pushed us to God. Always pushed us to Christ, to focus on him. So we don't want to be more attached than we should. Neither the one who plants, verse 7, nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes growth. God causes growth. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, Paul does not switch right here to talk about you as a believer and the good deeds that you do so that you get rewarded. He's talking to ministers. He's talking to teachers. He's talking to disciplers. He's talking to parents. He's talking to anyone who is operating in the role of training, discipling, raising up, bringing people up. That's who he's talking to. So each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. There is a reward for teachers. There is a reward for ministers. There is a reward for disciplers, people that are raising other believers up. There is a reward. Okay? So you should look for, you should look forward to your reward. You should expect it. Paul told the church at Philippi, I've run my race, I've finished my course, now is awaiting me my reward, a crown in heaven. So teachers, trainers, disciplers, parents, there is a reward for you raising people up properly. There is a reward. So the Bible, God will come back and say, not many of you should seek to become teachers, knowing that also you receive a stricter evaluation. Because it's not just you anymore, it's you and the kids. Kids being literal kids or disciples or students or whatever, right? But there's also something to look forward to, and that is a reward. Each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. So we have to look at our students. We have to look at our disciples. We have to look at the people that we're pouring into as God's building. This is God's building. This is God's field. And so every time I get behind this pulpit, that's my perspective. I want to sow into God's field. I want to do something, impart something to help build God's building. Okay? I'm not up here for me. I don't need to be up here. I went through the whole pride thing about 20 years ago, got the t-shirt, burned it. Okay? I don't care about recognition for ministry or anything else. My sincere heart's attitude, my conscience before God is clear. I just want to impart something that will help people grow. Okay? That will help build God's building. Okay, so Verse 10, this is able to happen according to grace. Okay? According to the grace of God, which was given to me. Every time you disciple, every time you train, every time you teach a Bible study, you teach a class, you're pouring into people, understand that you do it by God's grace. It's by God's grace. Brian, I can't teach that class. If God told you to, you can. Now, if God told you not to, you can't. But if God told you to, if God called you to, you can. And you do it by his grace. You know that his grace, his strength, his ability, his empowerment will be on you to do that. Okay? Brian, I can't raise these kids. Well, you ain't got much choice. I mean, it's, you got them now. You can't put them back in the oven. You know. But the good news is that God's grace will be upon you to raise the kids. Okay? To be a wise master builder. How do you build the lives of people? By the grace of God. Okay? You may be not filling up to your full capacity one day and have to go teach that Bible study, have to go spend time with that disciple. How does that happen? How can you do that? It's by the grace of God. Okay. So we all need grace. And if we operate in that grace, we can do more than we thought we could do. We can go above and beyond where we thought we could go. That's what grace does. Okay? So, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation. And another is building on it. But each teacher, each parent, each discipler, each pastor, each minister must be careful how he builds on it. Okay? You have to be careful how you build on the foundation that's in the lives of people. Okay? You have to be careful of what you put on that foundation. And what is the foundation? For no man, verse 11, can lay a foundation other than the one which is already laid. And the foundation is Jesus Christ. Okay? That is the foundation in every believer is Jesus Christ. Now, foundation's clear. Now, how do we build on it? How do we build on it? And God wants us to be wise master builders. That line upon line and precept upon precept, which we've received at this church, just slow and go. Slow and go. Slow and go and steady. You know, ups, downs, doesn't matter, just slow and go. Just lay it on. Lay it on. Lay it on. So God wants us to be wise master builders. He equips us to be wise master builders. And we build upon the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Now, verse 12. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, or precious stones, what is the gold, the silver, and the precious stones? It is the things of God that you are putting on that foundation. It's what you're putting inside that person. Are you putting truth in them? Or are you putting yourself in them? Are you putting truth in them? Or are you putting religiosity in them? Are you putting truth in them? Or are you putting lies in them? Okay? So you want to be careful how you build, and you want to be careful about your motivations when you teach, when you train, when you disciple, when you parent. You want to be careful about your motivations, because your goal is not to get them to be like you. Although, it wouldn't be too bad. But God didn't give the kids to you for you to turn them into you. He gave the kids to you as a stewardship, so you can raise up other sons of God in the earth for God's purpose that God can use. And you train them and you raise them according to the bent or the gift or the grace that God's put on the inside of them. And you direct them that way. Challenging thing is that sometimes the way that God tells you to direct them is totally away from the way God is taking you. And you have to be fine with that. well, God has called me to be such and such. Well, I'm going to turn my kid into such and such, too, because that just makes sense. No, you got to pray. You got to hear from God about that student. You got to pray. You got to hear from God about that disciple. You got to pray and hear from God about that child and say, God, what are you doing? What do you want to do? And then you have to slowly build in that direction, putting things in them that align with the word of God for that direction. So we want to put gold, silver, and precious things in them. We want to have a pure motivation when we're discipling people, when we're pouring into people, when we're training people, when we're teaching a class. You want to go into your classroom and have the attitude of, this morning, this night, I'm putting in gold. I'm putting in silver. I'm putting in precious things. And so you want to have a sober attitude. You don't want to just throw something out there. You want to be as prepared as you can be. You want to be ready, because this is serious time. There's reward tied to this. So you want to study to show yourself approved. You want to be ready to share at all times, to give account for the hope that's on the inside of you. You want to put in gold, silver, and precious things. Okay? Or you can build with wood, hay, and straw. Okay? Now, we all know the story of I'll huff and puff and blow your house down. Okay? Each man's work, verse 13, will become evident. Again, this is not talking about believers doing good things. This is still talking about teachers, ministers, disciples, or disciplers. Each man's work. What work? The discipling that you're doing, the teaching that you're doing, the pouring in that you're doing. Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it. The day of trial, and also the day of the return of Jesus Christ. Both days will show it. The day of trial, when that student, when that child goes through something, did you put in them gold, silver, precious stones that will stand the test of the fiery trial, that will cause them to stand in the midst of it? Now, obviously, they have to receive it. The caveat here is that the assumption is that they're not rebelling from what has been put on the inside of them. But God tells us that if you do it right, they won't turn away from it. So the day, the trial, the tribulation will make the work that we did as teachers, the work that we did as parents, the work that we did as disciplers, the day will show it. What we put inside of them. Okay? For the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. The fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. Now, when a pastor can be in the hospital for 7 months, and the core people who have been under the teaching and under the training can stay in place and function and operate and keep things going, that day, that fiery trial is showing the evidence of the work of what's been put into those people.
Amen.
Now, again, people can rebel. I mean, if people are disobedient to God, they can be disobedient to you too. So don't get under condemnation if you did put the right things in and that student is being disobedient and rebelling. Okay? Don't feel condemnation around that. You want to focus and make sure, I want to focus on putting the right things in. Okay? I want to plant. I want to build. I want to water. If I do that, that's my stewardship. I trust God with the rest. Okay? Let's let God deal with them. Let's let God grow them up. Let's let God work with them. But I want to make sure that I'm putting in the right things, that I'm building on the foundation with precious things, not just junk, not just garbage, but good things, precious things. So the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it, he will receive a reward. Again, there's that reward again. There is a reward for disciples, for teachers, for ministers, for people who raise up, build other people. There is a reward. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, so what's the work that gets burned up? If you're a teacher, if you're a parent, if you're a discipler, what's the work that gets burned up? Well, when you start putting junk inside that person, you start telling your child you'll never be anything. Use your head for something more than a hat rack. You're so dumb. You're so stupid. You start putting junk in them, that'll get burned up. You put lies in them, that'll get burned up. If you put the truth in them, that'll stand through the test of the fire. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. That means my reward is getting affected. As a teacher, my reward is getting affected because I did not build with the right things. And so when the day came, what should have been my reward is not there, or it's severely burned up. Just a little bit. I need a little bit to work with while I'm up here, God. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. Again, he's still talking about the teacher, the minister, not just Joe Blow Christian. But he himself will be saved. So it's not just getting into heaven. It's not just, there is beyond that, there is reward. There's a reward for believers. There are rewards given out. And this, as teachers and disciples, this is just the teacher's reward, the minister's reward, the apostle's reward. And Paul talks a lot about that because that's what he was. That's what he went around doing. But there's also reward just for believers in terms of how we spend our time here on earth as believers. We're going to heaven. I just want to make sure I got a bunch of goodies when I get there. Okay? But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. So God says believers are temples. They are temples of God. And so we want to be careful as teachers, as disciples, as parents, as ministers, how we handle the temple of God. Okay? We can't just approach this thing, discipleship, haphazardly. Okay? Because we're dealing with the temple of God. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks he is wise in this age, he must become foolish so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. For it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are useless. So then let no one boast in men, for all things belong to you, whether Apollos or Paul or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come. You already, believers, you already have all things. Paul and Apollos, them in and of themselves aren't going to add anything to you. Now, the anointing on the inside of them will. But don't seek after them on the surface. And you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. So the message tonight is be ready. Be ready to pour in. Be ready to train. Be ready to be used of God. And be ready to build. Be ready to put in good things. Be ready to put in treasure. And be ready to receive the reward that God has for you as you operate. Sometimes being a teacher, teaching that class, leading that Bible study, sometimes it's not easy for a lot of different reasons. But you're there, you're faithful, and you hold an important position in the kingdom of raising people up. Sometimes it's not easy to be a parent, but you hold an important position of raising God's building, of building on that foundation. And so God is pleased with that. And there is a reward for the work that you're doing. So don't count it as no one knows what I'm doing. I'm doing all this stuff and, you know, I'm not getting rewarded. I'm not getting recognized. I'm a great parent. My kids don't say thank you. I wonder whether or not they even realize that I'm mama or I'm daddy. Look, your reward will come from God. God knows how to reward you in the efforts that you're giving, the things that you're doing, where you're sowing, where you're pouring into people. God knows how to reward you. So get ready for your reward. Amen. Praise God. We are done for tonight. Stand with me. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your family, Father. And we pray, Father, that the word shared tonight is sealed in the spirits, in our spirits, Father, that it brings forth much fruit, Father. As we leave here, Father, we leave here under your grace, Father, empowered to do what you've called us to do and be who you've called us to be, Father. In this time and in this season that we are beginning to have evangelism and discipleship and getting outside the four walls, getting our focus back on that, Father, we receive this word in that context, Father, and being ready to be used of you to pour into other people, to disciple, to teach and train in whatever capacity that you call us to, Father, we receive that grace to do that, Father. Whether it's one person, five people, or 100 people, Father, we will be faithful to whoever you bring across our path, Father. Whoever you hook us up with, Father, we just want to be used of you to pour into them and be wise master builders, Father. We give you all the praise and glory and honor, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You are dismissed.